Welcome back to the News at Noon. At last night's Richland County Board meeting, attended by State Representative Tony Kurtz and Molly Bond, a staff member for Congressman Derek Van Orden, the primary focus was the intense public opposition to a proposed 765 kV transmission line. The county boardroom was hot, packed wall to wall with far more people than usual. The dialogue was much hotter. During the public comment session, 25 people addressed the board, with 24 expressing significant concerns regarding the project. Residents raised fears about potential displacement and property loss, specifically noting the possibility of the line crossing the Richland Locker, which could threaten the business's future, as well as the potential loss of 7 homes in the Wedgwood neighborhood, the displacement of a family farm, and the possible closure of a maple syrup business. Addressing the lack of transparency, residents reported receiving almost no information about the project. Richland County Board Chair Carrie Severson confirmed that the county has also received no official notification, although he noted county representatives had recently met with representatives of the developer. Beyond the transmission line debate, the board conducted several items of business. Brian Heiss of Fenimore was appointed as the new ambulance service director with a start date of August 10th. Additionally, the board appointed Randy Schmidt as county board supervisor for District 19 and Dwayne McElvain for District 20. The board also moved forward with its legislative agenda, passing all proposed ordinances and resolutions, including items related to an economic support lead position, the renaming of the Public Safety Standing Committee, airport roof repairs, and various parcel ordinances. The issue of the transmission line will be referred to the Natural Resources Committee and is expected to be back before the board again in their August meeting. In a proactive effort to enhance community safety and industrial preparedness, members of the Richland Center Fire Department recently partnered with the management team at Foremost Farms to conduct a comprehensive emergency training simulation. The unannounced exercise was designed to mimic a real-world incident, providing a critical evaluation of the facility's emergency protocols and the coordinated response capabilities of local first responders. The simulation began with a standard dispatch requiring firefighters to arrive on site under realistic conditions. Simultaneously, Foremost Farms employees executed established evacuation procedures, allowing leadership to assess the efficiency of their internal emergency plans. Upon arrival, RCFD personnel integrated with facility staff to gather essential information and assess the evolving situation. This collaboration allowed the fire department to develop and execute a strategic action plan involving search, rescue, and incident management operations within a controlled and safe environment. Officials noted that these joint exercises are invaluable for strengthening the relationship between the fire department and local industry. By refining communication channels and operational tactics, both organizations are better equipped to handle actual emergencies. The Richland Center Fire Department expressed its gratitude to the management and employees of Foremost Farms for their hospitality and commitment to safety during this productive training session. A death has been confirmed at Devil's Lake State Park due to a fall. At this point, very few details are available other than the death has been confirmed, and the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is overseeing the investigation. In a significant blow to the local dairy industry, Prairie Farms Dairy has announced the permanent closure of 2 major facilities in Schulzburg, Wisconsin. The move will impact nearly 100 workers across the Schulzburg Creamery and the White Hill Cheese Plant, marking the end of a long era of production in the region. The timeline for the shutdown is already underway. Production at the Schulzburg Creamery officially ceased July 20th, affecting 43 employees. Operations at the White Hill Cheese Plant are scheduled to conclude August 14th, which will impact another 54 staff members. While the company has confirmed these permanent closures, it has not yet disclosed the specific business reasons driving the decision to shutter these local landmarks. However, there is a silver lining for local consumers and fans of the brand. Prairie Farms has stated that the Schulzburg cheese brand itself will continue to exist, and the brick-and-mortar retail store in Schulzburg will remain open to the public despite the cessation of local manufacturing. For now, the community faces the loss of nearly 100 jobs as the town adjusts to the departure of these two primary production hubs. A new disaster recovery center has officially opened in Vernon County to provide vital support to renters, homeowners, and business owners in Wisconsin who were affected by the severe storms and flooding that occurred between April 13th and April 23rd. This facility serves as a centralized hub for individuals seeking guidance and resources as they begin the recovery and rebuilding process following the recent natural disasters. The center is located at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Westby. It is open to the public from 8:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. At this location, residents can meet face-to-face with representatives from several key agencies, including FEMA, the U.S. Small Business Administration, and Wisconsin Emergency Management, along with various county resource specialists. These experts are available to explain the different disaster assistance programs available, assist with understanding written correspondence, and provide helpful literature regarding the repair and rebuilding of homes, businesses, and vehicles. While many people may have already reported damages to local county officials, it is important to note that this information does not automatically transfer to federal agencies. Therefore, all affected residents are strongly encouraged to apply directly with FEMA or the SBA, even if they have already initiated a local report. Applicants should also be aware that after submitting their information, they may receive phone calls from out-of-state or unknown numbers. These calls are often from FEMA or SBA representatives attempting to schedule necessary site visits to inspect damages. Being accessible by phone will help ensure that applications are processed as quickly as possible to get the necessary aid to those in need. A series of significant public safety incidents occurred throughout Iowa County yesterday, keeping local emergency services and deputies active with cases ranging from missing persons to drug-related arrests. At 3:16 p.m., the Iowa County Communications Center received an urgent report of missing juveniles at Governor Dodge State Park. The report triggered a swift multi-agency response with the Dodgeville Fire Department, Dodgeville EMS, and Iowa County deputies arriving on the scene to coordinate a search. The effort concluded successfully as the juveniles were located shortly thereafter, with no injuries reported. Shortly after the search concluded, an Iowa County deputy conducted a traffic stop near the intersection of U.S. Highway 151 and County Road A. The subsequent investigation led to the arrest of 29-year-old Shelby Cody. Cody faces several serious charges, including possession of methamphetamine, possession of drug paraphernalia, maintaining a drug trafficking place, and felony bail jumping. Cody was transported to the Iowa County Jail for booking. FEMA has awarded more than $2.6 million to the Potosi School District to construct a safe room, providing critical life safety protection for up to 584 people within a quarter mile walking distance and half mile driving distance. The safe room is designed to withstand winds of up to 250 miles per hour, offering near absolute protection during tornado and high wind events. This project addresses the current gap in safe shelter options at the school, where existing spaces cannot protect all students and staff from severe weather threats. When not in use for emergencies, the safe room will serve as a multi-purpose community fitness center, benefiting students and the broader community year-round. This grant is awarded through FEMA's Hazard Mitigation Grant Program, which empowers states and local governments to develop long-term solutions that mitigate risk and protect infrastructure from future severe weather events. For this project, FEMA will pay 90% of eligible project costs, with the remaining 10% provided by the Potosi School District and the state of Wisconsin. FEMA has also provided more than $148,000 to assist the district in managing the grant. This initiative reflects FEMA's principles of ensuring that disaster recovery and mitigation is state-led and federally supported. The U.S. Department of Agriculture, Food and Nutrition Administration has updated income eligibility guidelines for meals served at schools and daycare programs, effective from July 1st of this year through June 30th of 2027. These guidelines, which are updated annually to reflect federal poverty levels, apply to the National School Lunch Program, the School Breakfast Program, the Special Milk Program, and the Child and Adult Care Food Program. For households of four, an annual income of $42,900 or less qualifies students for free school meals, while a household income between $42,900 and $61,050 qualifies children for reduced-priced meals. Participating public and private schools and daycares typically provide applications during registration, but families may submit them at any time. Only one application per household is required, and all submitted information remains confidential. The primary goal of these food programs is to improve the health of students, young children, and eligible adults by providing nutritious meals that meet USDA standards. In Wisconsin, the Department of Public Instruction administers these programs and is prohibited from discriminating based on race, color, national origin, sex, disability, age, or reprisal for prior civil rights activity. A list of participating daycare centers and the full USDA non-discrimination statement can be found on the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction website. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin has successfully advanced the bipartisan Connected Vehicle Security Act through the Senate Commerce Committee. This legislation aims to protect American workers and families from the security risks associated with Chinese-made vehicles. The bill prevents the collection of American data on U.S. roads by cutting off the supply of vehicles, software, and critical hardware from China or Chinese-controlled entities across the entire supply chain, including manufacturing, import, and sale. Senator Baldwin emphasized that Chinese connected vehicles represented a significant threat to American safety and jobs. She expressed pride in collaborating with both Democratic and Republican colleagues to advance this legislation, which serves as a crucial step in preventing data collection by foreign adversaries while ensuring the safety of Wisconsin families and workers. The Connected Vehicle Security Act achieves several key objectives. It bans foreign adversary vehicles by prohibiting the import, manufacture, sale, and resale of connected vehicles, software, and hardware linked to China or other foreign adversaries, including those from joint ventures. Additionally, the bill empowers the Department of Commerce to identify and block high-risk vehicle technologies, components, and transactions that endanger U.S. national or economic security. It also establishes enforcement mechanisms to ensure these prohibited technologies remain out of the U.S. market. The implementation of these restrictions will be phased in, with vehicle and software bans taking effect in 2027, followed by hardware restrictions in 2030. This timeline provides the U.S. industry with necessary transition period to secure a domestic supply, aligning with the Bureau of Industry and Security Connected Vehicles rule. The bill is led by Senators Bernie Moreno, Republican of Ohio, and Elissa Slotkin, Democrat from Michigan. A reminder to Richland County property taxpayers, Friday, July 31st is the final due date for the second installment of the 2025 real estate property taxes. Taxes are due and payable to the county treasurer's office. The interest rate charged in August will be 7%, and interest will increase 1% on the first of each month thereafter. Payments can be made online using the public portal on the Richland County Treasurer's website. Payments with cash or check can be made in person at the county treasurer's office, dropped in the drop box located outside the courthouse, or mailed to the Richland County Treasurer's office along with your tax statement. If you would like a receipt of your payment, please enclose a self-addressed stamped envelope. More information can be found on the Richland County Treasurer's website. The Richland County Fair is proud to announce the return of one of its most cherished traditions, the 45th annual Little Britches Showmanship. This delightful event, which showcases the next generation of agricultural enthusiasts, will take place Sunday, September 13th, starting at 11 a.m. Families and fairgoers are invited to gather in the show barn to witness a popular spectacle where little people handle little animals with pride and care. Designed specifically for youth between the ages of 3 and 8, or those in the second grade as of January 1st of this year, the contest provides an opportunity for children who are not yet eligible for regular 4-H membership to participate in the fair experience. The show features a variety of dairy and livestock animals, including dairy calves, goats, lambs, rabbits, and poultry, all of which must have been born on or after March 1st, 2026. To ensure safety for both the young handlers and their animals, every animal must be presented on a lead line through the event. Participants and their families should be aware of several important requirements to ensure a smooth check-in process. All animals must comply with the species-specific health and identification requirements found in the Richland County Fair Premium Book. Furthermore, any animal brought onto the fairgrounds on Sunday requires a vet check-in sheet. These sheets, along with copies of the health requirements, are available through the Richland County Fair Office or the Extension Office. If your child is ready to step into the ring, be sure to register early. Participants must sign up by calling the Extension Richland County Office at 647-6148 no later than August 31st. Don't miss this chance to support local youth as they showcase their hard work and bond with their animals at this year's Richland County Fair. The For Pete's Sake community is gearing up for a busy season, with the highlight being the Day in the Park, scheduled for Sunday, August 16th in Spring Green. As the end of July approaches, several important deadlines are coming up for participants and supporters. The primary date to keep in mind is July 27th, which serves as the final cutoff for ordering official Day of T-shirts. Keep in online. This date is also the deadline for run, walk, bike, and pickleball registrations if you wish to receive a T-shirt with your entry. While participants can still register for the run, walk, or bike events after July 27th or even in person at the park August 17th, these later registrations will not include a T-shirt. For those interested in the pickleball tournament, the final registration deadline is August 10th, though the T-shirt cutoff remains July 27th. Looking further into the schedule, the golf outing at the House on the Rock Resort is scheduled for September 1st, and interested golfers should ensure their registrations are submitted by that date. In addition to these athletic events, For Pete's Sake is actively seeking contributions for their silent auction. Anyone with items to donate is encouraged to reach out to Susan Giannata at farm, F-A-R-M, 12098 at AOL.com. She is coordinating the auction efforts. Support for the organization is also welcome through sponsorships, which are still available for the event shirts and upcoming golf outing. Whether you are a business or an individual, these sponsorships provide vital support for the summer's activities. For comprehensive details on all upcoming events, registration forms, or to explore various donation opportunities, please visit the official website at the4petesake.com. The board looks forward to seeing the community come together once again August 16th to celebrate and support the cause. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has released its hunting regulations for the fall 2026 through spring 2027 season, alongside the 2026 fall forecast series. These resources provide essential information for hunters and trappers, offering detailed outlooks for popular game species. A notable update this year is the launch of an online version of the hunting regulations, which features a drop-down filter to help users navigate information quickly, mirroring the structure of the traditional print version. The print version will also be available at DNR service centers soon. The newly released fall forecasts provide valuable insights into what hunters can expect, including reminders regarding public land access, game registration requirements, and season dates. While these forecasts act as predictions, they are grounded in a thorough analysis of available data, including federal and local species surveys, DNR research projects, weather patterns, and on-the-ground information from advisory committees and staff. For further resources, interested individuals can visit the DNR's official hunting webpage.